Blog Talk Radio.
There's nothing more powerful than our own grace and awareness. Welcome to my show, a show focused on mastering the inner conflict within our whole being. I'm Sheila Unique, a relationship coach and master energetic intuitive. For over 20 years, I've been passionate about educating people like you on how to resolve everyday life problems and relationships of all kinds. We have relationships with anything and everything in our lives, and how we relate with every one of them makes all the difference. Today's relationship has to do with my unique approach related to fear and anger. For us to master any conflict related to those emotions, we need to understand some of the invisible influences impacting how we gracefully move through them once they surface. It's important to recognize our emotions, regardless if they're negative or positive in nature. They surface with or without thinking involved. In the blink of an eye, we can go from feeling happy to feeling horrible. We get emotional based on the interactions with people around us, the things we're working with, or the situations we find ourselves in. For example, we have to drive on slippery road conditions and now we're fearful. Someone says or does something we don't like and now we're angry. Fear and anger definitely aren't the first choice of emotions that we'd want to feel in our day, and yet they surface. There's a lot of judgment around emotions in general, especially if they're negative in nature. It's challenging to deal with them because emotions have so many negative messages related to them. What emotions are okay to feel? What emotions are okay to express? It's gotten to the point where we rarely have a pure emotion, one that we just feel without having to run it through our heads determining if it's appropriate to feel or not. If we're questioning ourselves as to why we're feeling or if it's okay to feel, we're coming from a place where we've labeled our feelings as good or bad. The moment we've labeled our feelings, our judgments take a pure emotion, turning it into something bad and difficult to deal with. When that happens, invisible influences cause us to struggle and experience conflict of some kind. Emotions, both positive and negative, are part of us as human beings. There's not a human being who hasn't been happy or excited, afraid or angry. Emotions surface purely for us to feel, not for us to think our way through them, trying to understand what and why we're feeling. When it comes to any kind of emotion, think about this. The only negative emotions are the ones we repress, keeping them locked inside, or the ones we take out on other people. The rest are just emotions. What kind of emotions do we tend to repress and take out on others? Yes. There are going to be times when we're in a situation where we get emotional and respond inappropriately. Maybe a person innocently asks us a question and we react, responding in an unexpected negative way. Inappropriate responses include intense emotions like fear and anger. Let's look at those two more closely. We'll start with fear. Life being life, we've experienced what it's like to be fearful somewhere along our journey. For example, being scared to apply for a job or having some kind of health scare. Fear shows up in many areas. For me personally, there's been a lot of learning from my own experiences involving fear. One thing I learned is there's potentially two kinds of fear. The first one, real fear. Real fear happens naturally, surfacing quickly without thinking. And consider this example. Let's say there's a mom in the kitchen making breakfast and her three children are sitting at the table. One of the children accidentally knocks a glass to the floor and it shatters. Mom hears the shatter. The sound vibrates through her eardrums, going directly to the brain. In less than one-tenth of a second, the sound has gone into her brain, and the brain has made a decision without thinking. This is something she should fight or flight for. In two-tenths of a second, her body is dumping adrenaline right through her brain. By four-tenths of a second, her reaction is fear and anger. She turns to make sure the children are safe and yells at them. In no time, Mom feels guilty for getting angry and wonders why she can't control herself. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been in a situation where you couldn't control your emotions? I know I have. Let's look at that. In less than one-tenth of a second, the mom hears the shatter. In two-tenths of a second, the body has already dumped the adrenaline and saturated the brain. At four-tenths of a second, her reaction is fear and anger. The mother is not even the same person she was less than a second ago. She's literally a totally different person. This is what real fear does. The mother instantly moved into fear, the flight or fight mode, ready to run for her life, ready to protect her children, whatever she needed to do in that moment of hearing the shattered glass. That's how fast real fear surfaces. Our brain has already reacted before the mind. And let me say that another way. The brain reacts faster than our thinking. And this is nature's way of protecting us and the people around us. The body's so well trained to react almost instantaneously. The real kind of fear happens naturally and we can't control it. If there was a bull running in our direction, we'd run for our lives. We wouldn't stand there trying to stop the bull from running. We'd run. Whether we like it or not, this kind of fear isn't something we plan for. It surfaces unexpectedly, whether appropriate or not. Now hear me when I say that's very different from the second kind of fear, the imagined fear. This fear is learned and surfaces based on unrest we feel inside. It surfaces through the different situations we find ourselves in, and we do or don't do things based on what we believe other people will think or say. Can you relate to that? This kind of fear is a strong reaction and takes over all of our senses. For example, we don't do things because we think people will laugh at us. We don't step out on our own, make a needed change in our lives, or deal with difficult things because of some kind of fear. We've learned that being fearful is the way to respond in those kinds of situations. And one of the most common ways fear expresses itself in our lives is through the form of anxiety. Think about that for a moment. Have you ever felt anxious about something? I know I have. Anxiety is quite debilitating, causing us to get swept up in the state of reaction. When we feel anxious, we feel the fear of things like the unknown, being judged, or even losing control. All kinds of thoughts create fear and doubt related to the people, things, or situations involved in the moment of being anxious. It's the fear that stops us from doing things where we take some kind of action, like making decisions or changes in our lives. So think about being afraid of something. We know what that feels like. We stop breathing as we're trying to move forward and pull back at the same time. We can't think logically or even rationalize what is or isn't happening. Yes, quite debilitating. What's happening when fear takes over? Well, consider this. The imagined emotion of fear surfaces for one of two reasons. One, we're scared or afraid of doing something and the feeling of fear is giving us a nudge to get out of where we are. The second reason, we're unsettled or nervous and it's giving us a nudge that something isn't right or won't work. Fear surfaces offering us an opportunity to become aware. It's an emotion, one that's part of everyone's lives. This isn't about not feeling fearful. It's about being aware that fear has surfaced, giving us a nudge to either get out of where we are or that something isn't right or won't work. With this information, we have a greater understanding of how we can now move through fear as opposed to blocking it or staying stuck in it. Not too long ago, I heard how some people use fear as a form of entertainment. You know, when I heard that, I was blown away. Why? Because I could see that kind of behavior in some of the people around me. Having awareness of things like that allows us to make new choices if needed. And before I move on, let me share. One of the deepest fears we have, if not the deepest, is the fear of debt. We don't want to feel indebted to anyone for any reason. Play with that one as you go about your day. Fear is one major emotion interfering with our plans and happiness. And the more we work through the times of being fearful, the more we open ourselves up to experiencing a life filled with wonderment and adventure. Now on to anger. Life being life, we've experienced being angry somewhere along our journey. Now let me ask, have you ever taken your anger out on another person? Have you ever been on the receiving end of someone else's anger? I know I can answer yes to both of those, and just like fear, I've also learned from my experiences involving anger. It's one of the most intimidating and misunderstood emotions. People use and abuse it inappropriately. In all my years of working with clients, there's three things I've observed around the emotion of anger. One, we're not okay to be angry. Two, we're not okay to be around angry people. And three, we find it hard to deal with or resolve our feelings of anger. Can you relate to any or all of those? Nope, we don't even want to think that we could be an angry person. It's not uncommon to think anger is bad. It's the one emotion when it surfaces, we shut it down almost instantly. Why? Have you ever thought about that? Is it because we don't want to feel angry? Or is it because we're reacting to the anticipated expression of anger? Let me say that another way. When shutting anger down, would we be judging the feeling of anger or judging our reactions to it? Is it because of what it physically feels like? Or is it the mental perceptions and beliefs we've learned by observing others? And this is important to hear. Yes, anger often brings up many past situations where we saw people get stuck in their anger and take it out on others. We then relate to the emotion of anger based on how it's been expressed in our lives, leaving us to judge it as it's surfacing. The result? It gets stuffed down inside where we think we no longer have to deal with it. And as much as we think we can prevent our anger from surfacing, over time it builds in intensity, causing more harm than good. Think of the last time you were angry. We know what that's like. Our face gets red, heat shows up in the body, our voice gets loud. We're ready to blow if we haven't already. Anger is an eye-opening emotion that's perceived as negative, and this perception has to do with the wrong use of anger. And here are two examples of the wrong use. The first one, repressing it and keeping it stuffed down. The public's perception of anger makes it difficult to deal with this emotion. When someone gets angry, people tend to think that person is out of control and doesn't know how to handle their emotions. Well, this may or may not be the case. But keeping it stuffed down is one of the reasons more and more people experience the wrong use of this emotion. The second one has to do with using anger to hurt ourselves or others. The emotion of anger surfaces in every one of us at one time or another. And sometimes that anger is expressed outwardly, causing hurt and pain to others. The words spoken and the actions taken out of anger, uncontrollable and hurtful. And then other times, we direct that anger inwardly, hurting ourselves. From personal experience, neither one of those feel good, whether we're on the giving or the receiving end of the hurt. And one way to stop hurting other people is to heal and resolve the anger inside of ourselves. And the most empowering way to do that is to build a whole new relationship with anger. How? We commonly confuse the emotion of anger with the expression of it. The emotion of anger brings us as much insight to work with as the emotion of joy. Yes, anger feels different, is experienced differently, and still offers us wisdom. Like other emotions, anger surfaces when something doesn't feel good or when we feel disempowered in some way. It's acting as a red flag, reminding us to pay attention to what's going on inside in relation to what's happening outside of us. Now, that red flag doesn't remind us to stop feeling. Not at all. It reminds us to become aware that something needs our attention. What specifically is making angry? The emotion of anger can be motivational and instrumental in having what we want. And this is important to hear. When it surfaces in a real conscious way, the anger is very purposeful. For example, we're consciously aware we're angry about something, and the intense emotion of anger gives us the power to make changes in our lives. It acts like extra fuel, giving us the energy to move forward in whatever way we need to. The extra fuel comes from asking these two questions. The first one, what do I need to start doing? This question is great when experiencing a lot of internal resistance and we need an extra boost. Anger serves as extra fuel for us to take action on something we need to do but have been putting it off for a while. Talk about needing an extra boost. It also serves as extra fuel, helping us to do something we haven't done before. When we're angry and use that anger to motivate us, change happens. Now think of it this way. It's the kind of fuel or energy we'd need to climb a tree, especially if we're running from a grizzly bear. The second question, what do I need to stop doing? There's times where we're doing things we need to stop doing, opening ourselves up to what we're supposed to be doing instead. And let me add here, believe it or not, the stronger we feel the resistance to change, the more fuel power we need to take action regarding the changes we need or want to make in our lives. Anger does serve a purpose. The more conscious we become aware of the anger, the more we're aware of the intended purpose in that moment of awareness. For example, there's times when anger is needed in situations requiring a change. It has to be expressed for some people to take the change seriously. It's offering us information, letting us know something isn't right related to what is being experienced. Anger draws us inward in a real conscious way, causing some kind of action. Recognizing the emotion of anger can be purposeful, and it's a part of building a new relationship with it. I'd like to share a bit about my personal journey related to anger. I've experienced anger surfacing in an uncontrollable, hurtful way. And I've experienced both the wrong and right uses of anger for myself. Yes, I've literally gone from feeling happy to horrible within seconds. And with each one of my experiences involving anger, I've ended up going inwardly to heal and resolve whatever had caused me to react in that moment of feeling angry. And when I did that, I noticed there was a change in the length of time I remained angry. Now let me say that again. I noticed there was a change in the length of time I remained angry. At first, when my anger surfaced, I stayed angry for any number of days, depending on what I was angry about. I healed and resolved the unrest that caused that anger, and the next time it surfaced, it only lasted for a day. Then it lasted for hours, then it lasted for minutes, and surprisingly enough, I'd be angry and the anger disappeared within seconds. That's a fact. And this is important to hear. Why? Because as the length of time in our reaction reduces, that's a huge sign of healing inside. We don't normally think that. Yes? I got to a place where anger surfaces in a conscious way, allowing me to experience it as a pure emotion. What I noticed was when the anger surfaced, I was very aware of what I was feeling, not judging any part of it, letting it be there, and then it was done. I was able to just be myself once again because I wasn't afraid of being angry or afraid of my perceptions of what people would or wouldn't think of me. There were no hang-ups related to what I felt or why. And before I move on, I want to share how anger surfaces for reasons other than being angry. For example, anger sits over top of the love we have for others. Let's say our sibling is sick and won't go to the doctors. We're angry with them because they won't go. Well, why would we be angry? Consider this. The anger is the emotion that surfaced because of some unrest inside. So using that same example, the unrest had something to do with feeling powerless. We couldn't get our sibling to do what we needed them to do for us to feel at peace inside. And let me add here, it's that unrest that needs to be healed and resolved, preventing the anger from surfacing again in situations like that. The anger surfaced because it was sitting on top of the love for our sibling. And here's another example a little bit different. Over top of grief sits anger. So let's say our favorite sports team is struggling financially and must change locations, moving from one city to another. Once the news hits the media, the crowds are so angry, causing all kinds of problems for their team. What's causing them to be angry? Well, consider this. Underneath that anger is their love for their favorite sports team and all that team represents to them. Yes, anger sits on top of other emotions, and that's why we appear to be angry more and more often. It's because underneath those negative emotions, we have positive ones. That goes for all negative type emotions. We need to move through emotions like fear and anger in order for us to experience feeling equal or greater amounts of positive emotions like joy and love. We don't have to like the emotions of fear and anger, not at all. They aren't going away anytime soon, so it serves us greatly to build new relationships with our emotions, regardless if they're positive or negative. That building process takes one emotional experience at a time, healing and resolving the unrest related to whatever we're feeling. And in the process of doing that, we're eliminating the reasons for those emotions, along with our learned responses, getting to the place where we actually feel pure emotions. The more we do that, the more we experience living our lives without worry and fear about what other people will or will not do. Working with these kinds of emotions is like working with any emotions that surface because of the unrest inside. We become aware we're emotional, paying attention to the people, things, and situations we find ourselves in. From there, we begin to notice our thoughts, feelings, and physical body sensations. And once we connect what we're feeling inside, we stop thinking and just feel. We stay with that feeling without judging it, without manipulating it, without trying to analyze or interpret the feelings. And when we do that, miracles happen. How do I know? Because I've experienced this time and time again for myself, and I continue to witness it in my clients. I share this information with you today, helping you gain more awareness, giving you a greater understanding of things like negative type emotions. Whatever you're dealing with, just know you're not alone. But find your way to loving yourself through the process of living life, and remember that's impacting your whole being. There's nothing more powerful than our own grace and awareness. If you want to learn more about topics like this one, check out my best-selling book, Relate Fully. If you want to learn more about me and the work I do, go to my website, www.theuniqueapproach.com. I'm Sheila Unique, a relationship coach and master energetic intuitive. I do private and group sessions focused on healing relationships of all kinds. I wish you so much wonderment and joy as you move forward mastering the inner conflict within your whole being.